Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our blither as we share worship together around our area grouping, both in our shared service and on our individual services, where I know some of you do show the blither there as well. Lovely to be with you, and we're going to hear what's happening in each of our respective congregations. So over to you, Sheila.
Thank you very much, and it's good to be here after a week or two away on holiday. Worship continues this Sunday in Echt at the usual time of 10:15. We're continuing to meet on the first Sunday of the month in Midmar, and Midmar is open at the beginning of every month for a time of quiet, peace and reflection. But apart from that, it's quiet at this time in Lent, but looking forward very much to our joint worship and to talking on our joint worship later. So I'm going to pass over now to Tozi.
Okay, thank you, Sheila. Welcome back from holiday. From Kindo, just a reminder of the evening service on Sunday, which is in person at the church. It starts at 7 p.m. And on top of that, just good news, the First Nature Forum come and assessed Tose, and they said, Tose, you are doing well. You are speaking much Doric. Thank you. And now we hand over to Stella.
That's great. Thanks, Tosi. Well, I'm glad you could speak the Doric, or at least some of it. As we are recording on Wednesday, our session meeting is tonight, so we'll no doubt have some news of that in the Kirk on Sunday, where we'll be welcoming Neil to preach for us. I've been given some offers of spring plants, so our plant sale, which we think will be around the end of May, will happen in person. We'll put some plans together around that, but in the meantime, Facebook will have some spring plants for sale as they become ready, so watch out for some of our fundraising as it carries on, and we'll look to all the members of all the churches to be getting their gardens into good flower as we go. And over now to Joshua in Kevney.
Thank you, Stella. Nice to see everybody this morning. Just a bit of an update, what's going on in Kevney. Continuing, of course, with Sunday worship, and we are continuing, and we're taking our time by looking at the book of James, going into the fifth chapter, starting this Sunday. On Monday evening, we'll continue with online Bible study via Teams. If you'd like an invitation to that, please be in touch, and we can certainly arrange that. Fridays at the Church Center here in Kemnay, we continue with our Little Lambs of Kemnay, which is a children's music and dancing and play group. And I should also say, in Kemnay at 10:30 on Sundays, we also have our Sunday school continuing on with a curriculum for children, but all are welcome to come along and enjoy a time of fellowship together. So that's most of the news from Kemnay. I now pass over to my friend Ewan in Clooney and Money Mosque.
Thank you, Joshua. We have this coming week, on Tuesday night, we have a Kirk session meeting at Money Mosque, and that's an open session, and that's going to be held actually in the church. It's going to be one of the first face-to-face meetings that we've had for some time. On Wednesday, we continue with our midweek Lenten journey, After doing the first Wednesday, Ash Wednesday at a Lenten study, the rest of Lent, I'm actually going back to the old tradition of preparing people for baptism and Easter. Not that we have any baptisms, but I'm looking at God the Father one week, God the Son next, God the Spirit the next, looking at Bible reading, prayer, and so on. So if you want to join with me to hear what my thoughts are, that's online, YouTube or Facebook. Just look for Clooney or Money Mosque and you'll find some information there. We are worshipping continuing just now in Money Mosque Church. And I think that's all the news. Oh no, the mainly music, it didn't happen last week. Unknown to me that there was a new boiler being put in the village hall, so they couldn't meet. But this week they're meeting at the usual time on Tuesday afternoon. So I think that's all the news from Clooney and Money Mosque, and I'll pass you back to Neil.
Thank you, Ewan, and thank you, everybody. One last bit of news is to say that I will be leading a pilgrimage group to Oberammergau this summer from the 8th to the 15th of July. And Oberammergau is the site in southern Germany of a passion play that takes place once every 10 years. And it's a beautiful musical play. You may have heard about it. And if anybody would still like to join the group, we have a few places left. So if that is something that interests you and you are available between the 8th and the 15th of July this year, please do contact me and I'll be happy to hook you up with a ticket. And it'd be lovely to have you join us. And so back to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Today is the second Sunday in, and we're delighted that you're able to join us in this time of worship, where our congregations from across our local area come together to celebrate and to worship God. Wherever you are today, please know of a very warm welcome. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hear the call to worship. God, our God, is rich in mercy. By God's mercy we are created. By God's mercy we know Jesus. By God's mercy we have been saved. By God's mercy we are forgiven. By God's mercy we are alive. Alive through the death of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us worship God. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, companion and guide, we would be lost without your direction, wanderers in wildernesses of our own making. We praise you for dealing so graciously with your people in the past, when you guided them to freedom and a promised new life. We are heirs of that promise fulfilled in Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord. Through him you have established for us a permanent direction for our lives, and as we dwell in him, our lives are blessed with fruitfulness. Holy God, may this time of worship be a joyful response of praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and for all that you will continue to do for us and all people. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. We bring to God those things by which we die, our sin and the sin of the world, asking for forgiveness and life through the death of Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for the sins that have hurt us and separated us from you. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us for the sins that have hurt others and separated us from one another. Christ, have mercy. Forgive us for the sins that have hurt our planet and that separate us from future generations. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Family of God, hear the good news. Our God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Know then that your sins are forgiven, and be at peace. And so we worship together in the song, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be.
Yeah.
are going to get our reading today from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 11. After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with 5 porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying in the porches, and the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that the man had been ill for such a long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am trying to get in, somebody else gets there first." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Immediately, the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking. The day this happened was a Sabbath. So the Jewish authorities told the man who had been healed, "This is a Sabbath, and it is against the law for you to carry your mat." He answered, "The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody knows that oysters make pearls. Pearls are made by marine oysters and freshwater mussels, and they're the result of a wonderful act of self-defense. When some kind of irritant, be it a piece of grit or a grain of sand or even a parasite, gets into an oyster shell, in an effort to prevent the intruder from damaging its fragile body, the oyster makes a pearl from it. But not always. In actual fact, when a piece of grit manages to get into an oyster shell, one of two things will happen. Either the oyster will die, or it will succeed in making a pearl by coating the intruder with layers of nacre, effectively integrating the irritant into its own shell, and as an unintended consequence, creating something both precious and beautiful in the process. Making a pearl is one of nature's fascinating survival mechanisms. The only way in which the oyster can protect itself from the irritation and to carry on living, but not all of them manage to do that. Well, I want to use that analogy for what's happening at the moment in the Church of Scotland. The Church of Scotland is in the process of introducing a piece of grit into the oyster shell that is the familiar and established church that we all know and love. And that piece of grit is change, real change, arguably the greatest process of planned change ever experienced. Change at congregational level, change at presbytery level, and change at national level. And we're not talking about tinkering around the edges. We're talking about real change that's going to impact and affect both you and me. We're talking about a reduction in ministers, a reduction in our buildings, having to adopt new ways of working and embracing new, potentially exciting and collaborative ways of expressing our discipleship. Are these changes going to be the irritation in the oyster shell? For sure they are. That's a given. The question for the church and for us is, out of all of this, can we make a pearl? Can we learn to live with what's now among us? Can we integrate and transform what some may neither have wanted nor anticipated into something wonderful and beautiful and worthy of treasuring? Fundamentally, we're looking and facing a challenge to the status quo. But I feel positive about it. Not least because the ability to challenge the status quo has for so long been a part of our religious heritage. take the reading we heard today from John's Gospel. It's a simple story, but it is incredibly powerful. In the account, Jesus asks the man a simple but thoroughly profound question. Do you want to get well? Now, that's hugely significant. Jesus gave the man a choice. He gave him an option. Jesus reached out. The man was in control of what happened next. Wellness and change were not imposed. Jesus was asking, what does the man want? What does he really want? Because if the answer to Jesus' question, if the answer to do you want to get well was yes, then that yes was going to come with consequences, both for the man and for Jesus. This exchange took place on the Sabbath. Now, you didn't carry anything on the Sabbath, because to carry things out with the home amounted to work, and nobody worked on the Sabbath. So even carrying a mat would have been forbidden, and you certainly didn't perform miracles on the Sabbath. So in that short encounter, both men took a risk. The desire to live, to thrive, to be well, to find healness, find wholeness, mattered more than the religious rules, the religious norms of the day. I wonder how much courage it took to go against the flow. I wonder how much irritation Jesus caused to the religious authorities, because they certainly went on to persecute him for his actions. Jesus' actions, though, were always about offering people life, and life in all its fullness. And in this case, the offer wasn't conditional. It wasn't for tomorrow. It wasn't for after the Sabbath was over or for some undefined point in the future. It was for now. And grasping the opportunity, doing what had to be done, caused irritation. Even all these years later, same question could so easily be asked of us, couldn't it? Do we want healing, change, life in all its fullness now, right this minute, not in another day, not tomorrow when it's safe to pick up our mat, not in 2 days' time when the authorities' eyes are looking in the other direction, but are we ready for it now? Are we able to accept the offer of life in this moment, irrespective of the consequences, irrespective of the difficulties? Are we able to prize Jesus' offer of life in all its fullness above conventional practice, above social norms, above what's come to be expected? That's the choice that Jesus presents us with. The offer of life and transformation is for now, not for when the conditions and circumstances are different, not for another time or another place, not for when it might be safer or easier, and not for when the conditions might be more favorable or the consequences less challenging. Jesus' offer of life and life in all its fullness is for now, and he invites us to pick up our own mats, whatever they might be. Do the unthinkable, to try the unimaginable, to break with tradition, and to challenge our own assumptions about what's possible. That act of healing and kindness produced something both wonderful and beautiful. It offered a fellow human being the chance to live in a way in which he'd probably not lived for a very long time. That was the power, the gift that Jesus gave to that man. So breaking the rules, defying expectations, challenging the norm, redefining religious parameters, all those things are our inheritance. Our faith is absolutely grounded and rooted in a man who through his example, calls us to take risks in the name of love. What we choose to make of things in the next few months and years will be up to us. But it's always worth remembering, I think, that perils come from the oddest of places.
Let us pray. God of all kindness, you gave your only Son because you loved the world so much. We pray for the peace of the world. Move among us by your Spirit. Break down barriers of fear, suspicion, and hatred. Heal the human family of its divisions and unite it in the bonds of justice and peace. Especially pray for those fleeing conflict thrust upon them, women and innocent children, that they may find sanctuary, warmth, and love, and find courage and hope again to carry on. We pray for our country. Enrich our common life. Strengthen the forces of truth and goodness. Teach us to share prosperity, that those whose lives are impoverished may pass from need and despair to dignity and joy. Pray for those in leadership, that they may take selfless decisions for the good of all and lead our country forward to be a safe haven. We pray for those who suffer. Surround them with your love. Support them with your strength. Console them with your comfort. And give them hope and courage beyond themselves. We pray for our families and for those whom we love. Protect them at home. Support them in times of difficulty and anxiety, that they may grow together in mutual love and understanding, and rest content in one another. We pray for the Church. Keep her true to the Gospel and responsive to the needs and gifts of all. Make known your saving power in Jesus Christ, but the witness of her faith, her worship, and her life. All this we pray for, using the family prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we sing our final hymn of today, 180, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Jesus Christ, His Son, give thanks.
now in peace, assured of the transforming love and mercy of Almighty God. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, this day and forevermore. Amen.